Hello and welcome back to Even More News, the first and only news podcast. If news is your thing, that's what we bring. Hi, my name is Katie Stoll.
Hey, Katie Stoll. I'm a name guy, and it's Cody Johnston.
Hi, Cody. And joining us again for the first time since all of this wildness started is...
Hi. I'm Dave.
Hi, Dave. Before we get started, I want to wish you all a very happy National Peanut Butter and Jelly Day. It's just a classic. Right before we started recording, I celebrated with my new quarantine treat, frozen blueberry waffles with peanut butter and jelly. Oh. I can't recommend it enough.
Delicious.
You put them awesome. In the toaster first.
Oh, yeah.
You don't eat them cold.
Well, do you, when you do a regular PB&J, do you toast your bread there for that?
Sure. I don't do that very often, though.
Sure. Okay.
I like the mushiness. Okay. I like it all being one. You like mushy the mushiness. Packet.
Like, you want to be able to mush into a ball if you want. Like, if you want to have, yes. You want to have the option, yeah, to just ball it up and toss it in.
Eat it, yeah, like an apple. Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, so for me, my problem is that I am gluten-free. So when I eat bread, it's gluten-free bread. And a lot of gluten-free bread isn't too good. Just normal. You kind of have to toast it. So if I'm going to eat bread, it's going to be a toasted piece of bread.
Have you tried, this doesn't work for like peanut butter and jelly, but have you tried to do cauliflower? I made like
peanut butter and jelly.
No, I made like cauliflower grilled cheeses and stuff like that, where you actually make like a kind of toasted bread out of cauliflower. You like grind it up.
That sounds incredible.
It is. It's pretty good. You gotta put spices in the cauliflower as you go. Otherwise, it'll be very bland.
I mean,
but it's very good for like grilled cheeses and quesadillas and shit.
That sounds incredible. Please send me a recipe.
Even more welcoming to the show. Guess what? Thanks to BetterHelp for supporting Even More News, the show you're listening to right now. For 10% off your first month, go to BetterHelp.com/evenmore.
Oh, that was so good, Cody. Impeccable ad read.
Honestly,
that was great.
Thank you.
I just want to say, BetterHelp is like a very good resource for us all to be using right now during this time. So, and I think you guys should check it out. Oof, guys, how are you doing? Dave, like I said, we haven't seen you since this started.
Oh, yeah, I guess not. I don't know.
Yeah.
I've been fine. Your last week's episode was fantastic. And, one of you talked about how this is kind of like mourning.
Yeah.
It's a mourning process. Grieving. Yes, grieving's the word. And I've always been very bad at grieving.
Yeah.
And that kind of made me realize what's going on with me. Because I've been pretty, what's the word, numb to most of this in general. I guess I'm fine in terms of my living situation is fine. Mm-hmm. I'm more worried about other people, you know, and you sort of you get overwhelmed by that.
Yeah.
So it's easier to sort of just remove yourself from it entirely emotionally. And I'm lucky to have a lot of work to do to be able to do that.
It's so interesting. We were chatting before we started recording about that, and I'm so grateful that we're busy and that we have this platform and we have work to do and we have income still, and I can continue paying the people that work with us, and that feels incredible. At the same time, it's all moving so fast, and it's hard to take a step back and process it all. You know, today is hard for me. And, you know, last week was the emotional episode for us. But I think there's just going to be a lot of them, you know? I think it's going to continue to be a thing that we're wading through together. And it truly is grief. And I'm so glad that that conversation helped a lot of you guys. It certainly helped me just give myself a little bit of space and patience. And that's kind of what I'm hoping to cultivate over the next few months is patience. Because I'm not a patient person. And kindness. I think I'm a kind person, but it's really easy to lash out, to misinterpret what you're feeling as frustration with a person or a thing, you know, instead of understanding that it's just a lot going on right now and it's going to bubble up in surprising ways.
Yeah. Are you both kind of outdoor people? Like, you don't stay inside? Yeah. Because every time I'd come to record, you were always like coming from something and leaving to something. And to me, that's exhausting. Yeah. I'm like, I could never do that. But I think
it's
a lot of people who, did that. Like, I was inside a lot anyway. It's still weird because you feel like now everybody's shut in and there's this weird extra isolation to it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whether or not your lifestyle has changed a lot. But I feel like a lot of my friends had a lifestyle where they went out and they did a lot of things. And
it's a awful transition for me.
Yeah.
And I hate to focus on that so much because there's a lot of pain and I want to do the things necessary to fix the situation. I want to do my part and I am. But I can't lie. It's really hard. Ooh.
Yeah.
It's really hard to not see the people that buoy me. It's really hard to not have access to the activities that cleared my mind. People ask us a lot how we handle the news, how we cope with this job. And I got to tell you, it's with all the things that I can't do anymore.
Right. It's
Anyway, we are alive and we are healthy and we're fortunate to have work. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to feel these things.
It's good
and,
to.
It's good to. I wanted to touch base on...
I'm fine, by the way.
Cody, you got yours. You got yours.
Yeah, all right, okay.
You had your chance last week. And it helped you, didn't it?
No, but...
Yeah.
I'm so glad that you're fine. That's a big relief for me.
Yeah.
You know,
doing great.
I get to check in with Cody a little more because we've been playing Ark.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Real.
Which I don't know if that's a healthy way to deal with this or
terrible distraction. Terrible.
Yeah. It's like we're trying to find something that's worse.
Yeah.
Than what's going on in the world.
Stress you out more. Play this game.
All right. So for this episode, we're going to talk about some new stuff and we're going to experiment with taking a few of your questions and stories and including that as a regular feature in the show during this time, partly because your response to last week's episode was so positive and it's clear that we all are craving the community and connection and through sharing these personal experiences. So I think that that's going to be nice. Dave's going to give us some recommendations for quarantine content. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
So let's talk about some news. All right. Cool. Today we woke up to the stunning news that a record 6.6 million people filed for unemployment this week. That's coupled with the 3.3 million people from last week, I believe is the number, bringing us up to 10 million people currently unemployed. People who do not know when their checks are coming, people who are having problems with filing, with getting people on the line to answer questions. And yet, despite all of these job losses, Trump is refusing to reopen Obamacare. These people that have lost income and presumably a large amount of them, their health care, which is tied to their jobs.
Yeah, it's a bad idea to do that.
I was reading that he was saying, oh, we'll have something else.
We'll do something else. And oh, good.
So you'll do the thing.
Okay, great.
But call it something else.
I'm glad you'll whip something up.
It's important, though, you guys. Chris Hayes tweeted this, and he tweeted it slightly wrong and clarified, but essentially job loss, if you lose your health insurance, if your health insurance is tied to it, is a qualifying life event under the ACA. So people can enroll even if the feds have not created a special open enrollment period. Just if you guys have lost your job, know that.
Also, real quick, that's true. And that's important to note. It's generally, I would say, stupid and gross that there is an enrollment period at all.
I know. What the hell?
We haven't really talked about that, and I don't hear it brought up a lot, but that's the stupidest fucking thing I've ever heard in my life about health insurance, that there is a specific short period of time where you are allowed to enroll in it.
It is infuriating.
Why? Why is that?
I was asking that in my head, right? I don't know the answer because I've never looked it up, because I think whatever answer there is going to be too stupid. I can't think of a good reason, but I'm not a smart man, so I'm sure there is some sort of reason that went into it, but like, man, come on.
Yeah,
why?
It's ghoulish. Yeah, if you lose your job in the middle and, you know, then you get into a car accident, you know what I mean? It's
wild, but,
it's wild.
Cobra is a program, that, I did it when we lost, we got laid off at Cracked. It's three. Yes. It does 3 months of your whatever your plan was.
That's great.
It depends on.
It was very helpful.
Yeah, it was very helpful. Yeah. And like, yeah. It, depending on the company, they'll cover a certain amount of it. Any other time, Cobra's terrible, though.
Another stunning piece of news that we digested this week occurred when the White House did a briefing and said that our goal is to keep the American deaths between 100 and 200,000 people. This is a best case scenario that we're talking about.
It's based off a model that was like, it's based off a study. It was based off a group of people, right? It's not
like
Trump.
Yeah, various models, a few models.
It's not like, oh yeah, it's going to be.
It's based off of what, it's an actual like best case scenario that people whipped up. Actually based on information they have now. That's what's disturbing, because when I first heard it, I was like, wait, is that just like the White House's goal?
Right.
And it was like, no, we talked to these people and they're saying this is the best case scenario.
Yeah. Like a worst case scenario of apparently 2.2 million deaths. That's not going to happen. We have enacted social distancing measures in place. You know, we're not going to go back
on 2.2 Easter
million, but,
for a metaphor.
Yeah. So this projection is... this is if we end social distancing June 1st, I believe. So if we end it earlier, that number will go up. Yeah. I mean, yes. So this model is important to know. This does not take into account the fact that the president gave his social distancing suggestions, from what I understand, because that's clearly not being followed by all of the states yet.
I mean, also, it's not being followed by the administration when they do press conferences.
Well,
but, yeah.
I know. What it does take into account are all of the state level measures that have already been enacted. And it's assuming that the states who have not implemented social distancing or stay at home orders will do so in the next week, which is alarming, because why haven't they done it yet? It's frustrating. You had yesterday, the Georgia governor, Brian Kemp, finally announced a statewide stay at home order, stating that he had just learned just that day that it can be spread around by asymptomatic people.
What was amazing by that is he didn't say I just learned. He said we've just learned.
Yeah.
Like America, we just found out that this thing.
What did,
and it's like,
what did
no,
he say?
It was just you.
Quote, we didn't know that until the last 24 hours. And as Dr. Toomey told me, this is a game changer for us. Okay, bro.
Yeah.
It's wild. I mean, he's just lying or is incredibly
dumb. Oh, no, they're
all
lying. They're liars. This has been happening for so long. This is we talk. It's always, Trump does it especially, but like they speak for everybody. And whenever they learn something specifically, it's always everybody did. Yeah, we just got this information. Mm-hmm. Well, you did yesterday, maybe. They're lying.
Here's a conversation that we should have. A national lockdown. I understand why that would be bad in many ways and alarming. I don't know if we would want to have that, but we look at all these states that are not following recommendations and don't care, and hopefully they all come into line soon, because we are only as strong as our weakest link here. We can do all of this all we want. If another state isn't doing what they can, and then we come out of, you know, it will not stop. It will just keep spreading unless we all are on the same page here. You look at other countries, and one's as bad. Like they've done a national lockdown, you know, and I'm not sure what the best way to proceed is. What do you guys think?
Personally, I worry about a national lockdown.
I totally get that.
Yeah, no, I know. I mean, I wish that even the shelter in place was national and, like you said, our weakest link. But especially this particular government, but any sort of, you know, any sort of security measures and things like that are put in place during times of crisis, I'm always going to worry about because of things like the Patriot Act and things that sort of get pushed through. Under right. this sort of like necessary times, but then are used in perpetuity later on. And who knows, you know, what there was somebody, I forget who, Duterte, I think today was talking about their lockdown and like, shoot him, I believe he said. He really likes to want to shoot people. And that sort of attitude, especially when our president praised him specifically about the public executions of drug dealers, things like that are like, well, if somebody breaks the lockdown, what is the state going to do to that individual? And that's also very alarming to me personally.
It's alarming.
Yeah. Also, regions have to handle things differently than other regions, right? That was someone was sharing online recently. They tweeted out like a map of the states, and it was like the statistic about people driving more than 2 miles or something like that. And they like shamed the South because the South people were doing it more. And people rightfully pointed out like you can't. There's nothing within two miles.
It's very different.
So like social distancing and stuff does mean different things depending on where you live. It has to be more strict in a city because we're so close to each other.
Default, it's condensed.
I take out my trash and I have to wash my hands afterwards because I'm touching public things.
Yeah.
Whereas someone in the country probably doesn't have to.
Right. If you live, if you live in an apartment building, leave that building, you're touching a surface. Right.
If you just leave your room. Yeah. No, I hear that. It's true. It's just so frustrating when states continue to ignore what's happening.
Yeah, there has to be a national agreement on the goal and the severity and the broad like things we have to do, right? Like there does have to be a quarantine. People do have to be locked down. It just has to mean something differently in different areas, I feel like. And it has to be people have to be helped in different ways in different areas.
Yeah, you're right. I was just going to say like that's the thing about such a large diverse nation. It's one of the reasons, like, I mean, it's kind of one of the reasons that, like, an absolute, like, fascist takeover of the government is so hard, because it's such a bloated, spread out country, like, how would that even work?
I want to talk also about the hospitals. We have a real problem in our hospitals right now, and I know you guys know this isn't brand new news, but, man, it's dire. It's already dire. They're already running out of medical supplies, reusing masks if they even have them. You know, people are like putting their masks in ovens to try and decontaminate them. And they're already getting sick and they're already dying. Let's see. A supervisor urged surgeons at Columbia University Irving Medical Center in Manhattan to volunteer for the front lines because half the intensive care staff had already been sickened by coronavirus. ICU is exploding, she wrote in an email. A doctor at Weill Cornell Medical Center in Manhattan described the unnerving experience of walking daily past an intubated, critically ill colleague in her 30s, wondering who would be next. Another doctor at a major New York City hospital described it as a petri dish, where more than 200 workers had fallen sick. We're failing them, you know? We're experiencing this epic failure of our supply chain. And there are a few things that are going on here. One is that we got a lot of this stuff from China. And, you know, their manufacturing stopped and their supplies were going to China. But the other thing that's happening is that the states are currently in a bidding war with other states for PPE and ventilators. What did Governor Cuomo say earlier this week? He said on Tuesday that the country's patchwork approach to the pandemic had made it harder to get desperately needed ventilators. Quote, "You now literally will have a company call you up and say, well, California just outbid you." It's like being on eBay with 50 other states bidding seems on like a bad, ventilator.
Like, it seems like on every scale, that's what's going on, which is basically picking and choosing.
Yeah. A lot of people are,
based on equipment. All the way down to the doctors deciding who to treat.
Yeah, everyone's sort of like forced to do really, like, I don't want to say evil math, but really unpleasant, like, dark math.
Well, yeah, I mean, the hospitals are making official, preparing for the official policy to, you know, to be thinking critically about who gets to use the ventilator, who is a do not resuscitate, you know, patients whose heart stopped or they stopped breathing, you know, they're going to say don't revive them, regardless of like what they want or whatever, because.
Yeah. And yeah, I think it was Alabama starting to talk about like, prioritizing people who don't have like mental health issues and things like that.
Alzheimer's, stuff like.
Alzheimer's. Yeah. Things like that. And it's just, where does that, I don't know. Where does it start? Mm-hmm. Where does it end? It's.
That's the shit that's chilling to me, because I get it if it's someone who has health issues that might. Like, where it's like, this person is probably already on his way out or something like that. But when it's health issues that, like, mental health issues or anything that's not fatal, then what the fuck are we doing?
Yeah, like, yeah, no, it's...
You can't choose certain people, you know, like, that's... I get it when it's... I mean, it's still awful. When it's two bodies on beds and they're like, this one is more likely to die no matter what. Versus this one, we should save the one. Like, I it's still awful, but I get the logic of that.
Yeah. This conversation we've been starting to, like, some people have started to have, it's Nazi stuff. Like, that's shorthand, but like, that's what it is. They would, refer to people with like mental health issues, as, was it useless eaters was the term, life not worthy of life not worthy of living, a phrase like that. And it's this kind of stuff, and it's these kinds of conversations. And this is in the context of a pandemic. I think it's more acceptable to some people. But again, where does it end and why does it start? Certain things like that are popping up that I just think, we should be aware of and push back on.
A lot of what I was reading is that a lot of this is like just being decided in the hospitals by people who work there. Like, there's no official orders. It's just people on the job trying to decide, who do I treat right now? Because they're just understaffed.
Right. And like, and those decisions do have to be made in the medical field. But the sheer amount and frequency and severity of it now, I can't imagine like being in that position having to make those decisions.
Yeah, it's horrifying.
No.
Guys, we're going to take a quick break for an ad, and then we're going to come back and we're going to read some of your questions and stories. We're going to talk to Dave some more. It's going to be great.
We're going to be
happy.
Yeah. We're gonna be happy like a family, and we're gonna be well rested.
You listen to me. You smile. Mm-hmm. Smile. All right, we'll be right back.
Hey everybody, is there something that interferes with your happiness or prevents you from achieving your goals? Maybe you were asked how you were doing on a podcast and started to cry. Who knows? Either way, maybe BetterHelp Online Counseling is right for you. You can connect safely and privately online with a professional counselor. Anything you share is confidential, or maybe it's public if you talked about it on a podcast. I don't know. But if you're not happy with your counselor, you can request a new one anytime. They specialize in depression, stress, anxiety, anxiety, sleeping, grief, and, you know, other things you might want to talk about. on a podcast, or via text, chat, phone, or video, mobile, desktop, Android apps, iOS apps, all the methods one would expect from an online service in 2020. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/evenmore. Fill out a questionnaire to help them assess your needs to get matched with a counselor. Start communicating in under 24 hours. That's betterhelp.com/evenmore for 10% off your first month.
Good job.
Thanks. BetterHelp is not a crisis line.
And we're back. That was a great job.
Thanks.
Hang it in there. I'm feeling great. I'm feeling much happier than before the break.
Did it help?
Yeah, it did.
The BetterHelp helped better? You feel
it
better?
It did help.
Yeah.
I feel better. All right, cool. Let's get into some comments and questions from some of you guys. Just so you, I've mentioned this, we kind of want to make a regular thing. We're going to experiment with that. We'll probably put out different types of questions, you know, as we go along to mix up the kinds of responses we're getting. I just want a snapshot into how you guys are doing and thinking and what you're wondering. So this one comes from Jack Hinks. Jack says, my mother is a healthcare worker in Massachusetts. She has been incredibly strong during this time. She isn't afraid to go into work. My family has to be extra careful not to get the virus. She works with cancer patients going through treatments that make them incredibly vulnerable. That has been her main concern, and the thought of that makes us all very anxious. All that being said, when she was going to work yesterday, she saw a sign that was outside her building thanking all the staff. Aw. It was a relatively small gesture, but it made her tear up. She said it made her feel better about everything, that it gave her hope. So thank any healthcare workers you know. It means the world to them. Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Am I? It's funny. My best friend growing up, who I was just texting, is a PA and works in the ER in Massachusetts as well. And I've been keeping up with him, and it sounds... Boy, it's there on the front lines. I complained to him about, I was like, oh, it sucks I have to work during this pandemic. And he's like, does it suck, Dave? So, yeah, like what we're going through right now, like they're seriously on the front lines. They can't look away. It's, you know, they're working in an ER. There's a level of that always, but it's got to be. It's unbelievable, right? I can't even imagine what it's like.
I can't.
I mean, yeah, even I mean, even before this, but like, my God, yeah.
Yeah. Jack also has a question. He says, I also have a question to go along with that. What's something you've learned about yourself now that you have all this free time? Boys, have you learned anything about yourself?
I mean, it's not so much something I've learned. It's more just confirmation of things that I may have learned that I have not put into practice.
Like that you'd wish you did before this started?
Wish I did before this started. Certain behavioral or habitual things that, like I've talked about, are sort of exacerbated by this, that I wish I dealt with before this. Also, I need to sleep.
I learned that no matter how... Like, no matter how little expectations I get, I can't allow myself to grow facial hair. Meaning that during this, I was like, oh, okay, I can just not shave. Turns out I can't do that. Not because I can't grow the hair, but because I hate.
You hate it.
Hate the feeling of facial hair.
That's a really good thing to learn.
Yeah, and so I tried. I've tried twice. And then after like a week, I'm like, nope, I got to shave it off. It's awful. I can't stand the feeling.
Yeah.
That's probably the most, sadly, that's the most significant thing I've learned about myself.
And it
this.
Is significant. Now you know. Let's not discredit it. I think that I have learned, well, what I talked about earlier is just how dependent I am on outdoor activity, connection with people. You know, I do typically pack my days full of things, and I feel good when I do that. It also is maybe a way to run away from things. Not run away from it, but procrastinate thinking about something. Or
can I suggest something dumb that most people won't be able to do because it's kind of expensive and it might be too expensive? look into getting VR. There's an Oculus Go that at its cheapest, when it's on sale, it's like $150, which is still expensive.
Yeah.
So not everybody can use it, but I've found a you know, VR. I just happen to have a VR headset that was, I think, from when I was working at Cracked, the PSVR, and it's nice. you feel
think that's
like
such
you're
a good
outside.
Idea.
Yeah. It's
I love that.
You can go all Ready Player One for a little while.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get it. So go out and get your VR headsets. Share them with your friends.
Yeah. I do think video games have been helping me. Specifically, like the game we're playing is a nightmare, but like the kind of Minecraft style games where it's kind of, I know different people have different answers for this, but like I like the communal crafting project mm-hmm. games more than like one player mm-hmm. games, but there is some level of escapism there. It's not anywhere compared to going outside and getting exercise,
right.
obviously.
Right. There's that.
But you know, it's a good suggestion. Yeah.
It breaks up your day mentally. It gives you like, I think that's important, right?
It's escapism.
Not let your day bleed together, no matter what.
Yeah,
you're doing.
Change of your environment, even if it has to be virtual, does really help with your brain and mind and soul daily. I think Katie, I think we're kind of like opposite lessons, but like the same. Where like I wish I valued those things more, and you're sort of seeing that, you're realizing the value even though you did them a lot. Like you see, you feel the absence of them, and I feel the absence of them in my past, I guess.
When this is over, we're gonna go for a nice long hike.
Make me.
Okay, this next question is from Alex Green. Alex says, I studied abroad in Australia for a year and traveled quite a bit. I made a lot of friends, including some in the government there, who, even before all of this, said they would help me with the visa process. Plus, I'm almost done with a degree in computer science, which will qualify me for a high-skill visa. I could, without a doubt, immigrate there. I love Australia, something I don't feel comfortable saying about America right now. But, as an American citizen, I have more power to impact what this country does than most of the world population. Do we have an obligation to stay and try to fix this country? Left-leaning people leaving the country would definitely impact the less fortunate people here who couldn't leave, and the world as a whole, but it would be better for me, a pan non-binary trans lib. I know there isn't a real answer, and I'm not asking for you to make important life choices for me. I'm just curious what your thoughts are on what we owe each other in this country.
Okay, yeah. So I appreciate that you're acknowledging that like there isn't a real answer. And I wouldn't say you have an obligation. And I think, I mean, I don't know. Obviously, Rob Delaney is a different person with a different career and like completely different. But he lives in the UK and he's still a very vocal advocate for a lot of the change that he wants to see in America, for Medicare for All and those kinds of things. And the way that we communicate with each other individually and as, you know, nations and everything, it's different than it was just a short while ago. And there are things you can do abroad to affect what's going on here, especially with those relationships you said you forged.
Yeah, I think if you can get out of this country with everything you love, and you want to, fucking do it. I don't think anybody has an obligation to any country. That said, the older I get, because there's always that, you know, there's the I'm going to move to Canada feeling. And like, you know, the question of, oh, what happens if Trump gets reelected? And a big part of me is like, yeah, I guess I'll give up emotionally and just whatever happens,
happens,
and watch the world get destroyed. And then I remember I have like a niece and nephew and I'm like, God damn it.
I can't just check
into,
out.
Yeah, exactly. Some people can't just check out. That's the. I wish I could.
But if it's good for your mental health and your emotional well-being and your life, then you need to follow your heart. I'm not some advice line here, but I would say that that's something that you absolutely can explore. And also, it's not permanent necessarily if you don't want it to be. You can always come home. You can, like Cody was saying, stay engaged. You absolutely can continue to vote.
Also true.
All right, I'm going to get to some more questions. So this one's from Amanda Kay. It's the waiting for layoffs that's worrying me. I know it's knowing that business leaders won't learn a damn thing from this crisis and that it will happen again and again and again. It's knowing that I'm just a grunt and I'm expendable in the eyes of the management, and they make it not their problem what happens to me or any of my coworkers. We are entirely on our own and nothing will change for the better. Am I wrong? I want to be wrong. Please tell me I'm wrong. I don't know if you're wrong. I can speak to one thing about the layoffs. And it's that in the stimulus package, there is an incentive for employers to keep their workers on the payroll. So maybe that won't happen for you. I don't know if that stops the worrying.
Right. And encouraging. I don't think you're wrong. And I think you're wrong. Being on your own doesn't mean that nothing will change for the better, and being on your own doesn't mean that there aren't these other people who also feel that way, so you're not actually on your own. And there are things that you can do collectively. I don't know how much you talk to your coworkers about this same thing, but even like you were saying, the stimulus bill, like encouraging your managers and boss
to
apply for that and to push for that. Mm-hmm. And I can't speak to specific strategy or anything like that, but on our own is not something that I think any of us are, even though I do think that now makes us all feel like that a lot.
Yeah, that's a great answer, Cody.
Yeah,
I agree with you completely.
It's like good anger versus bad anger. Is like bad anger is when you're dwelling on it by yourself and you're not sharing it with others. And I feel like we're all a little bit incels right now. We're all at home on our computers getting angry and like not communicating, not connecting. And it's really hard to, and that can turn into very negative anger, very negative energy. But yeah, I think reaching out to people is never, it always makes me feel better.
Yeah.
Every time. If I'm angry about something, talking to people and organizing and trying to actually figure out what to do about it. Anytime something's hopeless, you talk to someone and they're like, well, let's figure it out. And just like, reach out to the people around you. And I don't know. It's my only advice for this. Yeah.
No, I think that's great advice. Like I said, this one is going to be a regular feature for us going forward. Thank you to everybody who gave us questions. We'll continue to answer them. We'll continue to ask for more. Just because we didn't get to it today does not mean we won't get to it in the future. Before we go, though, I wanted Dave to share some of his professional opinions on what would be good quarantine content to consume. Distract ourselves.
It's really funny because I wrote down a bunch of movies and TV that I've just been watching and enjoying, and they're all real bummers.
Yeah.
Right, like after spending a while talking about how numb you are to the situation, just like, yeah, here's the content a numb guy consumes.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. I mean, a lot of this is stuff that people have probably already consumed. If you're not watching the show Devs, I think it's on Hulu. It's really good.
What is
it
about?
It's Mystery Box done right. It's Alex Garland, who did the movie Ex Machina and Annihilation, and he's directing and, I believe, writing this TV show. It's about like a Tesla/Apple type tech company that has a special section called Devs where they're developing something. And the main character's boyfriend went to work for Devs and ended up going missing. That's as much as I'll say. You're going to start watching it and think, oh no, this is like a Mystery Box show like Westworld. But the mystery is actually pretty, it's like given to you, the answer is given to you like a couple episodes in. It's just a very compelling sci-fi show.
Once that answer is dropped, like the mystery, like you open the mystery box, you're like, oh, okay. The show continues without that mystery aspect and is good?
Yes. Well, the show continues with the realization of what that answer means. Okay. And without saying too much, it's something that fundamentally changes everybody who knows it. And you get to see how everybody deals with that fact.
Okay.
Okay.
Ooh, I love that.
This isn't what it is, but like if everybody found out a comet was going to hit the Earth, everybody would react differently because that's a devastating mm-hmm. life-changing news. It's like that.
Okay.
It's like everybody,
like
it's really
good.
Yeah,
like good. Season 2 and 3 of Leftovers sounds like. Well, just in the sense
that.
Of like we're not doing the mystery stuff anymore. It's just like kind of weird. Everyone's gone. Here's all these stories about how people handle that truth.
But. Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I just watched for the first time Color Out of Space.
Ooh.
Which is a...
Is that good?
Yeah. It's very good. It is directed by Richard Stanley, who hasn't made a film since he got booted off the island of Dr. Moreau in the 90s. There's a whole documentary about that called Lost Soul that I would also suggest people... watch. It might still be on Netflix. Color Out of Space is like it's based off a H.P. Lovecraft story. It's very grotesque, very beautiful film.
I like that
if people
they took out the U.
Yeah.
They took out the U for the movie in color.
Yeah. The nonsense letter. Yeah.
They don't need that.
If people haven't seen The Invisible Man yet, I would highly suggest that.
Oh, yeah.
It's very good. It's not a depressing film. I mean, it kind of is.
What's it about?
It deals with The Invisible Man. It's the remake of The Invisible Man, and the thing that's
it
might not be for everybody is that it just came out because it was in theaters and they moved it to streaming. It's Elizabeth Moss, and it's in this version, and this is what makes it kind of grim. The Invisible Man in this case is her ex who was abusive. So it's basically her getting gaslit by the Invisible Man.
Wow. I thought it was a horror movie, like completely different.
It is a horror movie. It's more like a thriller than a horror movie. It doesn't have too many horror moments. I'm looking for like non-horror things on my list and it's all horror. Some mainstream movies that I really liked was Birds of Prey, if you guys haven't seen that yet.
I have not seen Birds of Prey, no.
I hadn't even heard of that one.
That's
the Harley Quinn.
It good?
Really?
I thought it was really good. Well, it's mindless, but it's really good.
Yeah.
Like it's
better than Suicide Squad?
Yes. Guy Ritchie's new film, The Gentleman, came and went. That was really good. Bloodshot with Vin Diesel, if you want something real mindless, that's available right now.
If people haven't seen
The Dead Don't Die yet, Jim Jarmusch's new film, that's actually funny.
That's Kylo Ren and
Bill Murray.
Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
What? Oh, yes, please. Yes, please. Starring
it's
that
like a,
one on my notes.
Yeah, it's a zombie comedy. It's...
It's a zombity.
Zombity, yeah.
But it's on Netflix?
Zomcom.
It's probably on...
Zomcom.
I think it's on Amazon. I don't know where it is.
Right. It's somewhere.
One more movie that I think people should give a shot to, because I was thinking of this quarantine as a chance for people to go back and watch movies that sort of, you know, pass them by. Movies you wouldn't normally spend time with. Under the Silver Lake is a movie that was out last year, and it's very weird. It's not for everybody. It's the director of It Follows. It's his second movie after it. It stars one of the Spider-Men, Andrew Garfield, as an actor in Hollywood who's struggling to get like kind of break in, and he uncovers like basically a QAnon style Hollywood rich person like plot, like conspiracy, and it's very fun. It's a really weird one, but I want more people to see it because I thought it was really good. That's it.
Under the Silver Lake. I think I saw It Follows. It was fine.
Dave, thank you so much for putting that list together, though.
Of horror movies for people to watch.
Oh, start working through them.
Sorry. Also, Booksmart. That's real feel good.
Oh, Booksmart. Yes, watch Booksmart. I love that movie.
Yeah.
But we'll definitely have you back on soon. We'll ask for more suggestions because by then everybody will have watched all of these.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
And I truly am feeling much better than when I started recording this. So
I can tell. I noticed.
Did you?
Yeah.
Are you being sarcastic?
No, I noticed it. I was happy to see that slowly happen over the course of this conversation.
All I can say is that I'm really grateful. Again.
Good.
For you guys for this. And for all of the listeners.
Grateful for you too. And the listeners. And Dave.
Because we love you all very, very much.
Much.
Love you.